My name's Stu, as Margaret said. I'm from Green Island, and I brought a little posse from Green Island, some of the young people from our church, and so I promised that I would give them a wee shout out and they'd holler back at me. So, I'm also brother to Ian Neal, who goes here. If you don't know Ian, he's the one who wears velvet jackets and things like that, and is also partly responsible for the world population exceeding 7 million, this billion rather, this past year. So it's good to be here. It's a great honor for me to be here. I've known Mackers for, trying to work this out, about 8 or 9 years, and he's nothing if not persistent. He emailed me about a month ago or a couple of months ago and said, look, we want you to come along and do this. And I said no for a couple of reasons because I had some other stuff on it wasn't going to work out. And then he came back to me a couple of weeks later and emailed me again and says, look, I really want you to do this again. I was like, Magris, I really can't. I've just got some stuff that I need to take care of. And then he came back a third time and opened his email with, I don't want to be a nagging wife. So I really couldn't refuse him at that point. And so I thought, I'll come along. It's great to have this opportunity with you this evening. So my job tonight in about 20 minutes is to answer this question. It's not behind me or anything, so that's okay. But here's what I was given by Mackers. Isn't Christianity just a bunch of do's and don'ts? Isn't Christianity just a whole stack of rules and regulations? And so what I'll do is I'll be like Dave and give you last week who gave you the short answer first. And the short answer is no. Christianity is not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Now, obviously, it's a lot more complex than that. There's a lot more to it. And so I want to try and beef it up a little bit tonight using the Bible. But first, let me set us up before we get to the Bible by saying I understand why someone would think that. I get the heart behind the question. I understand why some people would see Christianity through that lens. I really do. I understand why some people look at Christianity, listen to what we say, and come away thinking, well, that's all it is. It's do this, don't do this, don't go here, don't listen to that, don't laugh at that, don't hang out with these kinds of people. I understand why someone would think that's all Christianity is. And so I want to be honest with you, and maybe no one else is going to be honest with you. I get why you think that, because here's the truth. There's a lot of times that's precisely the message we give. There's a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure there's tons of people here who are guilty of it. That's sometimes the message that we seem to give people when it comes to promoting or describing this thing we have. And so I want to try tonight and answer from the Bible the question. I want to try and claw back some of the ground that maybe you've lost because you've been beat down, you've been crushed, you've been defeated by all these lists and rules and regulations that you just feel like you can't keep up with. And so I want to try and correct your lens tonight. I want to try and correct your thinking. I want to try and correct how you see Christianity, because let me say it once more, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. And I want to show you that Christianity is so much more than that. And the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, is so much more than that. And so if you've got a Bible, I'd love you to meet me in Ephesians chapter 2. And this is the passage we're going to be in for a few moments. Now, at first reading, this isn't going to seem like it's going to answer the question, but I promise you it does. But we need to read this passage to get an understanding of what it is. If you're a Christian tonight, you're part of. And if you're not a Christian tonight, this passage will confirm to you the answer to the question that Christianity is more than a list of do's and don'ts. So Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read 10 verses together. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. It says this, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind." Now, let me stop here for just a second. This is Paul writing here, the Apostle Paul writing, and right in these first three verses, he has given us a very simple breakdown of the past reality of all Christians. In other words, Those first three verses, if you're a Christian tonight, that was you at one time or another. That was you not so long ago. No one is as an exception to verse 1 to 3. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You followed the desires of your own heart. You were an offense to the holiness of God. You felt like doing what you wanted to do and you did it. You had no obedience. You just didn't care. This was you, all of us at one time or another, doing what we felt like doing and when we felt like doing. But Paul also says right at the end there that this is all of mankind. This is everyone. So the Bible doesn't differentiate between those who grew up in church and those who didn't grow up in church. It doesn't make any distinction between those who grew up following all the rules and those who were out of control and were partying all the time. It says all of us, this is all of us. At one time or another, all of us followed what was dark. Everyone here in this room tonight, at one point or another, has or right now is following what is dark. Well, what was God's response to this? Well, let's look at it in verse 4. And this is phenomenal. Look what it says. But God, being rich in mercy, and because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here's what's just happened here. That we stuck in our trespasses. That we stuck in our sin. That we stuck in our brokenness have been shown kindness by God. We've been shown mercy by God. We've been shown grace by God in an enormous way, in an immeasurable way, that while we were stuck in our sins, that while we were stuck in our trespasses, that while we were stuck in our brokenness, Christ, that says, made us alive. Like, he brought us back. He resuscitated us. He breathed life back into us. The passage says we weren't just bad people doing bad things. It says we were dead. We were out of it spiritually. Absolutely out of it spiritually. But he brought us back. Now we'll get to how incredible that is and why people start to live differently when they come to know that reality, when they begin to walk in that reality. We'll get to that in just a moment. But look what else it says in verse 8. Look what it says. He says, just in case you think that faith is something you did, it wasn't. Faith wasn't something you did. It was given to you. That's what it says in verse 8. Now, this is what separates Christianity from every other religion on planet Earth, that you did nothing. You did nothing. Now, you might say, well, I prayed and I put my faith in Jesus and I became a Christian. Absolutely. I'm not taking that away from your salvation experience. But the Bible is telling you very clearly from this scripture that even the faith to be able to do that was given to you. You couldn't muster that up. You couldn't create that. You couldn't whip that up in you. The Bible says that even the faith to get up and pray that prayer was given to you. It was given to you. It was a gift from God. It was a moment where the Holy Spirit turned on the lights for you. So why does God do it this way? Why does Paul want us to know this? Why does Paul want us to know this is how it works? This is how it happened. Well, in verses 8 and 9, it says basically for us. It's basically saying that God has sent us in that moment. I'm going to save you. But in the end, it's not really about you. It's not really about you. It's about my name. It's about my glory. And it's about my renown. I will save you. I will rescue you. I will intervene. But I do not love you because you do this or because you don't do that. Or you do this over here and don't do this other thing over here. I love you because I love you. I don't love you because you're worthy. I love you because I'm God. And because I love you. That's just it. So he says, I will save you. I will rescue. But it's not because you don't do this certain thing. And because you do this other good thing. My love for you flows through and from the death of my son on the cross for you. So if there's any doubt in your mind tonight, or if there's ever been any doubt in your mind tonight whether or not you're worthy of God's love, let me answer this question tonight from the Bible. You're not. But that's okay. You're not worthy because that's what makes grace so phenomenal, so incredible. Because it isn't based on your worth. What makes grace this incredible, amazing thing that we praise God for and worship Him for is not that you're neat and clean and pretty and can do all the right stuff. What makes grace so incredible is that you're not neat and pretty. You do terrible stuff. You're dirty, and yet He loves you right in the middle of it. That's phenomenal. That's incredible. That's amazing grace. So how does this answer the question then? How does this passage, what we've just read in Ephesians 2, how does this answer our question? Isn't Christianity just a bunch of rules and regulations and a bunch of do's and don'ts? How does this passage answer that question for us? Well, there's a couple of ways. So let me try and run through them really quickly and then we'll call it a night. So the first way is this. Let me take a drink first. The first way is this, that based on what we've read in Ephesians 2, the determining factor in your relationship with God is what Jesus did for you, not what you've done for Him or what you will do for Him. Does that make sense? That the determining factor is not anything you've done or haven't done. It's what He in Christ has done for you. Because here's the reality, you couldn't do enough. I mean, you couldn't. You could not do enough to earn the favor of God. You could not do enough good things and avoid enough bad things where God would be like, oh yes, gotta have that guy on the team. You could not do enough. But again, that's okay. That's what makes grace amazing. Because when you get caught up with what you're doing or what you're not doing, you've stumbled head first into religion. And I'm sure Dave said this last week, Christianity is not a religion. It's the opposite of religion. You see, religion is this, there is this code to be followed, there are these standards that must be adhered to, there is this morality that we must ascribe to, and these things that I have to do, and so I'll do them, and then God will be pleased with me. And if I don't do them, God will not be pleased with me, and so therefore I do all of these things, and I avoid all of these things, and therefore God's happy, and me and Him are cool. That's religion. That's not Christianity. That's not a relationship with God. Because at the center of Christianity is a cross. And on that cross is the Son of God, Jesus, taking the full weight of our sin, taking God's wrath against that sin on our behalf. So that all that we need to do in order to be accepted by God hasn't actually been done by us. It's been done by Jesus. So we don't have to do anything. All of the favor, all of the acceptance, all of the right standing that you and I have before God has been purchased for us, has been bought for us by Jesus on the cross. You didn't do anything to get that. There's no standards, no rules that you could have followed perfectly in order for that to be okay and God to go, all right then, you and I, we're fine. All that needs to be done to get you and I in a position where we are accepted by God has already been done for us by Jesus. it's already been taken care of. So that's the first thing. All that you need to do, or all that we would need to do to get acceptance from God, has already been done for us. But let me put a disclaimer here. I'm not saying tonight that there are not do's and don'ts in Christianity. That would be utterly dishonest of me to stand up here tonight and say there aren't explicit commands in the Bible that tell us certain things that we should do and certain things that we should avoid. It would be untrue and unbiblical for me to say that there aren't rules in Christianity. There aren't do's and don'ts. Because the application of our faith, by definition, demands that we follow the direction of God as given to us in the Bible. But Christianity, first and foremost, is about knowing God, is knowing God through Christ, is knowing the power of the gospel and who He is and what Jesus has done for us. So there are commands in the Bible. There are. There are places in Scripture that tell us what we should be doing and what we should be avoiding. There are places in Scripture that tell us this is how you're to live, this is how you're not to live. There are those places in the Bible, but here's the amazing thing. Here is the incredible thing. They have no bearing on our acceptance before God. When you read those things in the Scriptures, that is not God saying to you, do this and I'll like you. Avoid that and it'll be okay. No. He says, I've already accepted you. So even if you do these things and you do them right, that's great. But even if you do these things and you get them wrong, that's okay, because my love for you, my acceptance of you does not depend on what you do. It depends on what my Son did for you. The gospel is the good news that our relationship with God has nothing to do with our performance, but rather it has everything to do with Christ's performance for us. Now, this is very, very important that we get this, because if you're from Northern Ireland, particularly, performance is a big deal in Christianity, is it not? I mean, let's be honest, it is. It is. We're enslaved to performance, I think, sometimes in Northern Ireland. We naturally drift into performance mode when it comes to our relationship with God. So we think so much good behavior for me generates so much affection from God, and so much bad behavior from me generates so much anger from God. And so God's relationship to me, how God thinks about me, ultimately depends on what I am doing and what I am not doing. But again, like I've said already, that's not Christianity. It's nothing to do with your performance. It has nothing to do with it. But again, let me be really clear. That does not then get you off the hook. That does not then mean that you can read the commands in the Bible. It does not mean that you can look at the things that Jesus commanded us to do, that God has shown us that we ought to do, and just go, well, I don't need to bother with that because it's all been done and I can just live however I like. If you live that way, can I plead with you tonight and say, you have not understood grace if that's the way you look at the commands of the Bible. If you look at the commands of the Bible, if you look at the ways in which God has set out clearly for us as Christians to live, and you just think, that doesn't apply to me because Jesus died for me and it's all cool, I would say to you tonight, you have totally, totally misunderstood the cross. Totally misunderstood the cross. But when we understand, when the reality of what Christ has done for us sinks into our heart, the motivation for following the commands, for obeying the commands, for living in a way that is in accordance with the Bible, the motivation behind that is not, this gets me favor with God. The motivation should be this: I'm so thankful to God that He did that for me, and so I just want to please Him. I just want to please Him. That's why I do those things. That's why I obey. That's why I follow. I do them not because I think it gets me brownie points with God. I do them because He saved me, because He loved me even while I was dead. And He loves me despite the fact that I will constantly fail at keeping those commands. despite the fact that I will constantly mess up when it comes to living as I should be. But praise God, by His grace, He gives me grace to strive, to live, to please Him. We do those things out of gratefulness. And that is so freeing. Like, that's the most freeing news ever. That we can follow the commands of God. We can obey Scripture. And sometimes, let's be honest, get it horrendously wrong. But do you know what? It doesn't matter because Christ has already accepted us. How freeing is that? We strive, absolutely. We try our hardest to line ourselves up with how we should live and how Jesus lived. But when we fail, which is absolutely inevitable, God does not destroy us. Praise God, He does not destroy us and go, "You're out now. You didn't keep that one. You're out." No, that's not what He does. He gives us grace and forgiveness to get back up and to keep going, to keep striving. We don't need to spend our lives trying to earn the approval, acceptance, or affection of God, because we could never earn it. Jesus has earned the approval, the acceptance, and the affection of God on our behalf. It's done. Everything we need, everything we long for in Christ, we already possess. Because my guess is tonight there are lots of you here and you just want to know tonight whether or not God is for you. Whether or not God actually loves you. Can I say tonight that He does, but not because of anything you've done or will do. He loves you tonight because His Son bought that approval and that acceptance for you. But again, talk reality. There are areas of Christian culture where you can become pretty powerful and pretty well liked by simply living according to a certain standard, a certain list of things that in the end have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We don't do this, and we do this, and we definitely don't do this, and we don't do what they do over there, and we certainly don't go there, and we certainly don't watch that, and we certainly don't listen to this, and we certainly won't laugh at that, and we certainly won't go to the swings on a Sunday. We won't do to these things. So there are certain areas of our culture where those things are worn like badges. Look at what I've done. Look what I don't do. But again, if you live like that, if you find yourself drifting towards that, the motivation is not gratefulness. The motivation is actually the applause of men. You want people around you to think that you're neat. You want people to think that you're okay. Again, that's not Christianity. That's religion. In religion, we obey to get things from God. If I do this, if I don't do this, then God will like me. I'll obey Him because I need His acceptance. That's not Christianity. Christianity is, I'm already accepted. Therefore, I obey. And He already has accepted me. So why would I not want to try and live to please Him? Why would I disobey Him? He's already accepted me. In true Christianity, we obey to be near to God. We want to know Him. We want to be near. We want to be like Him. We obey to be transformed into His image. We obey because we want to get God. We want to know Him in all His fullness. We don't go to God to get things. We go to God to get God. So if you don't have a background in church, or maybe you do, you can get really confused about what our message is and what it is we say we believe. So maybe you're sitting here tonight and you thought, well, I thought you hated Twilight and were against sex. Or I thought you hated Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga and didn't watch TV on a Sunday. If that's how you see Christianity, can I apologize? Because that is not Christianity. And if you've never quite understood what it is we're about, and you've listened to us speak, and sometimes you think that it all is just about moral superiority. Again, let me apologize, and let me one more time tell you what we're about. Let me tell you what Christianity is about. We're all about, I'm all about, that while we were at our worst, Christ died for us. And something happened when we became aware of that. Something incredible happened in our hearts and in our minds when we became aware of that. And that changed the way we lived from day to day. We're not perfect. We're busted up. We're still going to fall. We fail every day. But God, because He is kind, because He's rich in mercy and in grace and in love, is slowly but surely making us more and more like His Son. And He does all of that while letting us be part of it. Because that's verse 10. Look what it says in verse 10. For we are His workmanship. That in the original language actually says we are His poetry. We are His song. We are His masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works. So there you have it. There are good works for us to do. We get to do good works. We get to obey. We get to follow. But only out of a heart that's been transformed by the reality of His kindness, His mercy, His grace, His love. So there are good things for us to walk in. There are ways in which you and I should walk in. There's ways that He has set out for us. But we only ever do those things because our hearts have been transformed. And so is Christianity a bunch of rules and regulations? No. Are there rules, do's and don'ts in Christianity? Well, honestly, yes. But is Christianity more than rules and regulations? Absolutely. It's based on what Jesus Christ has done for you, not what you could ever do for Him. And that is good news. That is great news for you and I tonight. Incredible news. And so again, I plead with you, don't miss this. Don't write us off because of some moral superiority that sometimes we give off. Don't write Christianity off because of Christians. Please don't do that, because it's not about Christians. Christianity is about Christ. Look at what He's done. Look at what He said. Look how He lived. I pray that you get that tonight. I pray that you don't miss that tonight.